Let's bring in Simon Marks. Good morning, Simon.
Good morning, Matt.
I'm sitting in your studio.
I know you are.
In the centre of Washington, D.C. and you're not in front of me with a fresh bagel.
I know, it's
bagel
shocking,
or,
isn't it? I'm sitting in my home studio. I'm sitting in my garage, but I no longer have the cricket. I think last time we talked, I had a cricket here.
You had a cricket, yeah. There's
gone.
No cricket in the studio, I have to say.
No.
Anyway, listen, it's great to be in the same city, and I hope to be seeing you in person
Absolutely.
At some stage, with all the usual social distancing, of course, et cetera,
exactly.
et cetera. So it's been yet another big week in American politics. And what was the most fascinating thing for you about that debate in Nashville, Tennessee?
Well, I mean, I think, first of all, you have to acknowledge, whatever your position in this election, that the President Donald Trump that showed up for that second presidential debate is a President Donald Trump that we just haven't seen before. I mean, he wasn't the same President Trump that showed up for the first debate, clearly, but he also wasn't the same President Trump that has been relentlessly unfocused and ill-disciplined on the campaign trail. He was, for 90 minutes, pretty much on point, and I think made some headway finally in terms of going after the policy positions that Joe Biden is putting across in this election, particularly in terms of challenging Joe Biden to explain why he's now promising to do many of the things that he failed to do during 8 years as vice president and during a 47-year political career. The problem with that is that it's very similar to the kind of approach that Hillary Clinton actually took back in 2016. Donald Trump in that debate was suggesting to American voters through his demeanor and his sudden newfound focus on the issues that Americans need to forget everything they already know about him and imagine that he's a completely different type of politician than the man they know him to be. And that is, we saw with Hillary Clinton, a massive problem, and it's going to be a huge problem with Donald Trump because he's immediately, after the debate, returned to type. There he was in Florida again yesterday, insisting that COVID-19 is just going to go away. Well, we had a record number of new infections yesterday, topping 80,000 in a single 24-hour period for the first time, according to Johns Hopkins University. COVID-19 is not simply going to go away. And, you know, at the end of what I think was actually a pretty substantive debate, it may well be that Joe Biden's opening gambit in that debate, saying to Americans, if you don't listen to anything else I say over the next 90 minutes, listen to this. When you've got the deaths of more than 220,000 Americans on your hands, you are not eligible for another 4 years in the White House. That may end up being a message that resonates with the very small numbers of undecided voters who are still out there.
Because he's not an outsider, he's running on his record, and the record, especially when it comes to COVID, is questionable. Now, on the other side, I mean, I was watching the whole debate, all 90 minutes of it, at a reasonable hour, because I was already in Florida. And I have to say that even though Joe Biden had some great moments and, you know, was pretty coherent and had a couple of great lines, and both candidates kind of dialed down on the insults because they were afraid of the mute button, whatever, There were many times when I thought, is Joe Biden going to make it to the end of that sentence or that paragraph?
You Absolutely.
Know, and that is worrying. I mean, that sense of frailty, if I was voting in this election, even if there are things I don't like about Donald Trump, the frailty of the other candidate that is apparent would make me very scared.
Yeah, and there's no question that the longer the debate wore on, the more tired and pale Joe Biden became. I mean, there were equally points where I think if you look at some of the video, you can see Donald Trump hanging onto the podium a bit because I think 90 minutes on his feet was not a particularly pleasant experience for him either. But he's the man who's been through COVID-19. Joe Biden has not. I think one of the difficulties with what COVID-19 has done to this election campaign is that it has really robbed Americans in very large measure of the opportunity to see Joe Biden. And that's partly due to the choice Joe Biden has made to stay, as Donald Trump puts it, in his basement in Delaware. I mean, he did spend an enormous amount of time over the last week, I think 4 days, possibly five, not making any public appearances outside that home in Delaware. And so it was, you know, I'm sure very inspiring to Democrats to see Barack Obama finally and belatedly show up in person on the campaign trail in Philadelphia. But Joe Biden wasn't there to receive his plaudits or stand alongside him. And that has prevented, I think, American voters properly from scrutinizing not just Joe Biden's policies, but his physical capacity to serve out 4 years in the Oval Office. Now, he will say that's one of the reasons why he selected Kamala Harris, a younger, highly effective voice for the Democrats in the U.S. Senate, particularly on the Judiciary Committee, where she's absolutely eviscerated some of President Trump's top officials. But is she battle ready? Is she ready to take over at the drop of a hat? And are Americans going to conclude that now is the right time to put, at the age of 78 next January, the oldest man ever to begin a term in the presidency in the Oval Office? The polls still suggest that that is what Americans are about to do. But I agree, I don't think that the latter stages of that debate did him very many favours.
So, you know, 52 million Americans have already voted. Yeah. This is trench warfare here when it comes to, you know, the tribal divisions. The sliver of undecided voters, I'm told, is relatively small. So has this debate, with what you've just very effectively described, frailty on Biden's side and an almost unprecedented coherence on Trump's side, has that moved the dial, do you think, in Trump's
I think
favor?
It's too late. I mean, we keep talking about, you know, 12 days, 11 days, 10 days to go till election day, till Americans cast their ballots. More than 50 million people have already voted. 48 million people had voted by the time that debate took place. For them, this is all irrelevant. They've put this behind them. And to put those numbers into context, total number of voters that participated in 2016 was 130 million. So we think that this time round it's going to be a higher number, possibly 155 million Americans will participate, but still a third of them have already cast their ballots. There has been very little movement in the opinion polls over the last 3 months. The conventions did nothing to dent Joe Biden's lead in the polls. The debates have done very little to alter the standing between these two candidates nationally and in the battleground states. Look, we all remember from 2016 the vagaries of the Electoral College. You can win 3 million votes more than your opponent and you can still lose the presidency. So anything can still happen. But all the signs continue to point not just to a Joe Biden victory for the presidency, and this is important to underscore, but a Democrat win in the Senate. And, you know, you're talking about who's going to be better for Britain, Biden or Trump. Well, you can't completely divorce that at all in terms of a trade deal from what happens in the U.S. Senate. If the Democrats are ending up in a majority in the Senate, as seems highly likely, you've got all sorts of prominent Republican figures in the Senate fighting for their political lives over the next few days. That dramatically alters the contours for the outlook for a trade deal between London and Washington, because any trade deal absolutely has to be approved and ratified up on Capitol Hill. And that's going to be far more complex if you ended up, highly unlikely scenario, but if you ended up with Donald Trump in the White House, but the Democrats controlling both the House and the Senate.
Okay, I won't let you get off the hook easily, so 10 seconds. Come on, give me that prediction. I've asked everyone else. You can't get off the hook. Come
on. Look, the numbers very, very clearly point to a Joe Biden victory and a Democrat clean sweep. Okay. The numbers, as we know, have not always been correct in the past.
Always
my get out. There's my get out.
Well, of course
out,
it is. You're a seasoned correspondent. Simon Marks, thank you very much indeed. Thanks for letting me sit in your studio. I hope to see you soon.
I hope it's
and
nice
you'll be here
to
on election night, of course, with LBC.